Thank you for the introduction. So I'm happy to be here to talk about the atomic entropy in topological space and from a new perspective of quasi-particle fluctuations and talk about its relation between the atomic entropy and the thermal entropy. So before starting, I need to introduce a little background about the topological phase. So we have many examples of topological phase, like fractional quantum Hall liquids, topological insulators. But how do we define, or detect topological phase? We can use one sentence to define topological phase. We can say topological phase are many-body states with topological quantum numbers. So to detect the topological phase amounts to detect the topological quantum numbers in these states. So here are two ways to detect the topological phase. One way is to use the Aharonov-Bohm effect, which means if we have one electron approaching around a magnetic flux in two different ways like this, and the final state will differ by a phase. So in general, for a generic topological phase, this Aharonov-Bohm phase will replace by the monotropy of anions. They are described by the S matrix, module S matrix. So another way is to use atomic entropy, which when we compute the atomic entropy in topological phase, we may extract the quantum dimensions of modular S T matrix, and these are the examples of topological quantum numbers in topological phase. So theoretical approach to study topological phase include the effective theories. By effective theories, I mean at low temperature and at long distance scale. So the effective theories for topological phase turns out to be topological gauge field theories. So far, we have the known examples of topological gauge field theories include Chern-Simons theories, which are defined in continuum space-time. And also, we have the discrete theories. For example, we have the quantum Dummel model, 11-way model, and they are also known as the Degenkolb-Witten models in the path integral formulation, and Tulagi-Wheeler TPFT in the path integral formulation. So the good thing about the topological gauge field theories is the entanglement is encoded by the gauge symmetry in these gauge field theories. So today we are focused on the discrete models and compute the entanglement entropy. Sorry. So the entanglement entropy is defined by the reduced density matrix here. So given a system, we cut the system into two subsystems, A and B, and we can get a reduced density matrix by taking a partial trace over B like this. So phi, the state is where we start with to compute the atomic entropy. Then the atomic entropy is defined in this way. So the well-known result about the atomic entropy in topological phase are the topological terms, which means the atomic entropy in topological phase has the leading term S0, which is proportional to the length of the entanglement boundary. So this is known as the area law. And there is a subleading term, which is universal, which means it's a constant. No matter how you cut the system, it does not depend on the shape or the length of this entanglement boundary. So how to compute the entanglement entropy? Two ways, for example, here. We can use CFT techniques via anion condensation to compute the atomic entropy in topological phase, or we can take the discrete models and compute the NMR entropy directly. For example, the quantum double model and Levenworth model I mentioned in the previous slide. So this talk, I will focus on these discrete models. So they are lattice gauge field theories. I will explain later. And we will compute the NMR entropy from the new perspective in terms of quasi-particle fluctuations, which this picture can be obtained via the gauge symmetry breaking. I will leave this in leave the explanation in the talk. Okay. So the next page does not work. Okay. To better motivate this talk, we can previously review the example in three quantum field theories. It could be bosonic or fermionic. So for convenience, we can consider a lattice. And we have the, for example, a bosonic free quantum field theory. And it turns out that the entanglement problem, which is a problem to find the entanglement between the degrees of freedom inside this subsystem and the degrees of freedom outside the boundary in another subsystem. It turns out that this problem tends to study the correlation functions inside one subsystem. So in a way, it's like this. The reduced density matrix we obtained in free quantum field theories has an exponential form like this. Inside the exponential function, we have a quasi-particle form. So, and the coefficients here are actually given by a correlation function matrix. So this formulation tells us two things. First thing is inside the subsystem, when we compute the reduced density matrix, an observable inside the subsystem will think he's living in a statistical system, like a grand canonical ensemble. And what he observed, mean the law or effective Hamiltonian, he can observe in this statistical system is actually given by the correlation function matrix here. And second thing is, he will think he can see a finite temperature in this statistical system. So this is the two things we can observe in free quantum field theory. So any observable here sees the effective Hamiltonian of the physical law is given by a correlation function, and he can see the finite temperature. And the goal of today's talk is to find an analogous picture in topological phase. So now when we go to the topological phase, or to be more precise, we are talking about the topological gauge field theories we will use to compute the NMR entropy. Then in these models or in these theories, what are the similar picture here? And we will try to find the structure of entanglement with this goal. All right, so let's begin our main part of today's talk. So in this part, I will show you to find the entanglement entropy. It turns out that we can use the quasi-particle fluctuations to describe the entanglement entropy. And how to obtain the quasi-particle fluctuations, it seems that we start with a lattice gauge field theory, and then by computing the entanglement entropy, it's equivalent we will see the gauge symmetry is broken on the entanglement boundary, which leaves us the quasi-particle fluctuations picture. And this is, I will explain this in this main part. Okay, so first I need to introduce what model we use. I will start with the discrete gauge field theory, and I will identify what I mean by the quasi-particles. And specifically, we are using a very, so here, we are talking about a very simple example of discrete gauge field theories with the gauge group to be a finite group, actually Z2 here. So this lattice model is also known as the K-type's toric code model or quantum double model or Levin-Wenz Z2 model. So the model is defined on a lattice, and the Hilbert space is spanned by the spin up or down on each link on this square lattice. And the Hamiltonian has two turns. The operator AV is defined at the vertices, and another term BP is defined at the plaquette. So here, actually I use a green color on this plaquette, but it's not obvious.
Actually, I'm still on the previous page. Can you go back? One more. Yeah, this one. So C is CI divers CJ. Theta H is log of 1 minus C over C. And so CIJ is bounded from between 0 and 1.
Bounded. CIJ, it's a many body theory. So if for bosonic, no.
I just want to qualitatively understand as I change the value of CI divers CJ, how should I think of the temperature?
Oh, temperature is because of this form. So this means if you have a finite coefficient here, then you can identify this with a density matrix for a canonical ensemble.
But beta H can be negative.
It turns out to be positive in the case of free quantum field theories by computation. All right, sorry. So in this lattice model, we have the operator, we have the Hamiltonian of two turns. AV defined at the vertex, it's the sigma x acting on the links 1, 2, 3, 4, and BP is defined around the plaquette on the links 5, 6, 7, 8. And actually these two operators can be recognized as the gauge transformation AV, which is a Z2 gauge transformation, which means sigma x, it becomes the Z2 group action. So AV becomes the Z2 gauge transformation operator here. And BP is a Wilson loop operator around this plaquette. It measures, so this Wilson loop operator measures the magnetic flux around this plaquette. So as a result, this Hamiltonian can be is exactly solvable because all A's and B's are commuting with each other. So the eigenspace or all energy eigenstates of this model are the simultaneous eigenvectors of all these A and B operators. And since all these are polymetric, so the ground state is the eigenvectors, so the eigenstates, so maybe more than one, are the eigenvectors of all A and B equal to one. So, but in general, any eigenstate can be the eigenvector of A and B, could be plus and minus one. So if we given a state, if it's an eigenstate with eigenvalue AV equals to minus one at some vertex, we can say there is a charged quasiparticle at this vertex. Or if there is a local eigenvalue of BP equals to minus one at some plaquette P, then we say we have a flux quasiparticle. So in the language of gauge field theories, This affirms the complete set of observables in the gauge field theories. This agrees with our picture that we learned from electric magnetic theory. All physical quantities are the electric field strength and magnetic field strength. And if the system, the spatial, if the spatial topology of the system is non-trivial, then we also have a Hadamard bound phase. So these form all complete set of observables, and we define the quasi particles, the charge quasi particles and flux quasi particles given by the gauge charge and gauge flux. So here, in this model, we have Z2 charge and Z2 flux represented by the red dots and the blue squares here. Now we have defined what are quasi particles in the lattice gauge field theories. How does it help to compute the entanglement entropy? So to compute the entanglement entropy, we have two steps. We cut the system into two subsystems, A and B, and then we take the partial trace to compute the entanglement entropy. So by cutting the system into A and B, mathematically, we mean we do a Smith decomposition. For example, in our case, we start with a ground state in the lattice Z2 gauge field theories, and we start with a ground state, and we do a Smith decomposition and write down the ground state as a tensor product of the states in subsystem A and states in subsystem B. And then we take the partial trace of the density matrix, and we can compute the entanglement entropy. So we apply this, we follow this standard procedure and proceed. So to the first step, we cut the system into subsystem A and B, and the lattice, it looked like this. We go along this entanglement boundary, and then it turns out that the Smith decomposition of the ground state can be conveniently described by the quasi particle fluctuations. So we are using a language as analog language in quantum field theories. In quantum field theories, in a vacuum fluctuation, the virtual particle pairs can appear or disappear in a short time due to uncertainty principle. And here, what we view is the ground state. It's like this. We start with the ground state. And in this ground state, there's no charge and no flux. So there's no any quasi particle in the ground state, because the ground state is given by the ground state subspace is given by the modular space of flat connections in the differential geometry language. So there should be no quasi particles. That's why I use virtual here. So the virtual quasi particle pairs, what I mean is two red dots along the entanglement boundary. So each pair of red dots is actually representing a local charge pairs, so given by this formula. So here this is the entanglement boundary, and this red dot, it's a local charge given by J, which is a representation of the gauge group. And this red dot is given by this dual of J, which is anti-charge or anti-quasi particle of this J. So this link here means it's a virtual quasi particle pair, and altogether, they should satisfy the gauge symmetry, which means this local state, it's invariant under the gauge transformation. And it turns out the entanglement entropy in this system amounts to to come from the contributions of all these quasi-particle fluctuations. So each virtual quasi-particle pair becomes entangled pairs. Okay.
So what's M?
Oh, M. N is the, so like if we view this J as a total spin, then N is the third component of this total spin. So and this picture and this explanation can be generalized to any finite group.
So without symmetry, so here M is to account for some larger quantum dimension or.
Oh, so for any fun, yeah. So J is the total, yeah. So J means the irreducible representation of any finite group. Then, if this representation is not it's higher than one dimensional. Then this N describes the basis of this representation space. So the representation space is not just one dimensional, it could be higher dimensional.
So for Zn gets to M has only one value.
Yes. So J can be thought of as the total spin, and N is the third component of the spin.
And if I view the system as the wave function of the system as a string of condenses, then when I do this cut, I can see I'm cutting some of the strings.
Yes.
And that's the reason of.
Yes, that will be next step. Yes.
But the strings can be very large, so those pairs are not really that close to each other. You also have to consider pairs far away.
Yeah, that means the red dots actually, these dots are maybe connected to another charge far away from the one you considered, but I did not draw the large loop inside the subsystem. Okay, so actually this should be seen in the next step. So the second step to compute the atomic entropy is to take the partial traits. So in the lattice, when we do the partial traits over the region B, then what we are left is the subsystem A. But from the Smith decomposition from the previous slide, we have quasi-particle pairs across the boundary. But now for each pair, one quasi-particle is in subsystem A, another is in B, but when you do the partial trace over B, so all pairs are broken, and we can only see one quasi-particle in the subsystem A, because the other one is it's partially traced. So what we expect is we can see quasi-particle states on the entanglement boundary, so which is the boundary of the subsystem A, but how do we describe them? Which should include the physics, like the cutting the large string you mentioned. So what is the rho A, the reduced density matrix? So it turns out to answer this question, the answer is given by the gauge symmetry breaking. So we start with the ground state, which has the gauge symmetry in the entire system, but around the entanglement boundary, we can have virtual quasi-particle pairs. And each pair totally has the gauge symmetry. So now when we do the partial trace, the subsystem B now has gone. What we are left with is a subsystem A with quasi-particles can be seen on the entanglement boundaries. And by taking this partial trace, mathematically, the gauge symmetry in the ground state, now it's broken on the entanglement boundary here. So, but this gauge symmetry is not broken so thoroughly, such that there is a global symmetry left, which is acting on all charge. So it can be written in this form. So UG means the gauge transformation acting on one quasi particle. So that we have a UG acting on each of these quasi particles, and we have a summation over G, means it's an average transformation, which means PG is a projection. It projects onto the states which are invariant under these global symmetries. So actually this could be conveniently viewed in terms of Wilson loops or like a large string, large strings you mentioned. So in gauge theories, yes.
Sorry, could you repeat what that small g is?
Oh, small g is a group element in a gauge group. And this gauge, when this gauge symmetry is broken, then a global symmetry is left. And this global symmetry is given by the same gauge group g. Okay, so return to this picture. In the gauge field theories, all observables are given by the Wilson loops. So we can have Wilson loops inside A or B or across in the entanglement boundary. But when we take the partial trace, then we see these Wilson loops are cut, and that the closed Wilson loops become the open Wilson lines. And for example, for this line, for this half loop, the two open ends becomes the two quasi particles here, not necessarily neighboring. All right.
Did you already explain why there's the global symmetry?
Yeah. So we have the gauge symmetry inside the subsystem, in the whole subsystem, and since we since if we have a virtual quasi-particle pairs across in the boundary, we can broke them. But if we have any virtual anything inside the subsystem A, we can't see anything. So this can be so the global symmetry can be viewed like we have a large Wilson line around all these quasi particles. So in terms of Wilson loops.
So basically, I can also think of this global symmetry as saying any flux going into the subsystem A, it will go out.
Yes, that's the global symmetry.
Mm-hmm.
So are you saying that the gauge symmetry in the bulk becomes a global symmetry on the boundary?
Yes, on the charge.
And then somehow this boundary global symmetry is broken?
It's broken on a boundary means, gauge symmetry breaking means the Gauss law is broken. So you can observe the charge. So gauge symmetry means no charge.
Locally there's no gauge transformation that keeps the system invariant. But if you act the PG on the entire support of A, the system is invariant. You see that?
So
you can think of when you trace it out, the entanglement boundary becomes some kind of physical boundary. And then on the physical boundary, there are anion compounds to there. Which break the symmetry on the entanglement boundary.
Or you can think that in this way, if you have a sphere and you cut the subsystem into two parts, the north part and the south part, but the entire sphere system should satisfy a global constraint due to the boundary condition. But on the sphere, we have no boundary condition, but we can see that on the entire sphere, there should be trivial charge the total charge should be trivial. But if you cut a system into two parts, then we should have a global symmetry on, let's see, not in this way. So actually the gauge symmetry, if we think of that in terms of Wilson loops operators, then the global symmetry should correspond to some large Wilson loops acting on all quasi particles at the same time. Okay. All right. So let's summarize the result due to the gauge symmetry breaking. So we mentioned that there is a reduced density matrix includes two terms, the P0, so P0 and PG. So all of them are projection operators. P0 projects onto the quasi-particle states on the entanglement boundary, and PG is a projection onto the states invariant under the global symmetry. The global symmetry, which is represented by the UG here. Then, for example, in this example, the computation of entanglement entropy amounts to the state counting. So here, log W. W is the total number of quasi-particle states. Then the entanglement entropy has two terms, the leading term, which is proportional to the length. So for example, 14 dots in this lattice. And subleading term, which is negative log G, which is due to the global symmetry on these quasi-particles.
What's W?
W is the total number of quasi-particle states on this boundary. So here we have 14 dots. So each dot contributes a local Hilbert space of the size G, and the global symmetry will reduce the entire dimension by one copy of G. So the total number of the quasi-particle states is G to L minus 1.
I just want to make sure. So what's the precise definition of U of G?
UG, it's the, so if in terms of the gauge field degrees of freedom, then you use the glue element on each dot, on each side. Then UG is just the left translation, or left multiplication on each quasi particle. If you use the gauge field degrees of freedom.
It's the representation of the gauge transformation.
Yes, left multiplication of the gauge group.
And it acts on each side or?
Acts on each side at the same time, using the same G.
And the multiplication is through all the sets along the boundary or what?
It's along the boundary. So here, in this example, we have 14 copies of this UG.
Is this very special to the just a ground state for torical? Because it feels like that you do need a condition that say the density of matrix and those quasi-particle states, they all have equal weight, right?
This is for the topological gauge field theories, like a torical or quantum double model for any finite group, for any gauge group. It's equal weight because of the topology. Because of a topological feature in topological phase.
Let's say if you
perturb. Not in any quantum field theory. Huh?
Let's say you perturb the model a little bit, then you are still staying in this torical phase, but then the wave function will not be the equal weight through the
relation. So it depends how you preserve the gauge symmetry. It may be perturbed.
But then you wouldn't get the exactly same result, right? You'll have a different, probably different coefficient for the area log term. Is that right?
If you have a local dispersion of like a toroidal, you mean?
Say perturbed toroidal, but you're still in the same phase, same topological phase. Because it sounds like that you, these arguments seem to be very general. It doesn't depend on the details about the wave function that you're calculating, but.
Oh, it starts with a ground state in quantum double model. So the wave function.
But the small provision doesn't matter in thermodynamical limit.
Yeah, but the.
But so far it's more due to the kinematic feature of this gauge field theory, which means so far the analysis it's based on the Hilbert space structure, and the equal weight here I think it should depend on model.
I think what they were asking is, if you're on a small finite system, if you add some small local perturbations, then there could be excitations that are created by local operators.
Oh, we're not talking about local perturbations. So let's say you have a toroidal model and add some perturbation term, which is some sum of local terms, and then the perturbation is small enough such that your ground state is still in the same toroidal topological
phase. Yeah, this calculation is completely in ground states.
Yeah. But then your ground state wave function is not just easily wrote down as equal weight superposition of all the loops. So, and then I don't know about the detail of the calculation, but my understanding is that because you're cutting those loops and then the end of the loops looks like some quasi particle, and now you have to, so that you form this reduced density matrix, then you have to calculate the entanglement entropy, and then the way you're counting that just by state counting. And then I'm just assuming that the reason why you can just calculate that by state counting is because all the coefficient of the quasi particle states are equal weight. That's why
yes.
log
yes.
I mean,
yes, they're equal weight. And this equal weight is due to the gauge symmetry everywhere. So if you add some local perturbation, and still it remains in the same phase.
Uh-huh.
But if you have the gauge symmetry preserved, then we may expect to have the same thing. But I'm not sure,
mm-hmm.
since this equal weight distribution is coming from the gauge symmetry.
So you're telling me the perturbed wave function in the same phase, you will get the same.
Maybe.
Entanglement entropy.
But maybe not. So I'm starting from the ground state in this model. So I'm not sure if you add a complicated perturbation, what we will have. But it may be possible you add some local perturbation, but still have good symmetry, good gauge symmetry. I mean, like the twisted quantum double, you add a gauge symmetry. You add a perturbation in a good way. I mean, the gauge symmetry is preserved. Then we may still have the same distribution. Okay, but
maybe we can discuss a little more.
Yeah. And here, we have the entanglement entropy amounts to the state counting of the quasi-particle states on the entanglement boundary. So the entire procedure is, we have gauge symmetry broken on the entanglement boundary, which breaks the virtual quasi-particle pairs across the entanglement boundary. And once the virtual quasi-particle pairs are broken, then computation of entanglement entropy actually can detect these quasi-particles left on one subsystem. If we are looking at the reduced density matrix, actually we see the eigenvectors of the reduced density matrix, rho A, actually can be written down in a tensor product states formulation. So in the representation formulation. So here, this is the Fourier transformation from glue elements, which are the gauge field degrees of freedom to the charge, the charge states, which is in terms of the representations J. And then the eigenvectors of a reduced density matrix are in this form. So this is a tensor product state. And the trivalent vertex here means a clash Gordon coefficients as the tensor we use to construct the wave function. Okay. So one immediate consequence is that we obtain a correspondence between the Antheimer entropy in a 2D system and a 1D grand canonical ensemble of the boundary system. So the reduced density matrix can be identified as a density matrix for this entanglement, for this 1D grand canonical ensemble on this boundary, but the temperature is becomes infinity because of the equal weight of all quasi-particle states on the boundary. All right, so this so when we go back to the question, when we compare the free quantum field theories and the topological gauge field theories, then we see we have an analog picture. In free quantum field theory, we can feel that we are living in a statistical system, we find that temperature, and the physical law we observe effectively are the given by the correlation function. And here, if we live in a subsystem here and we are not aware of the outside world, we are not aware of the existence of subsystem B, then we think we are living in a statistical system with infinity temperature. And the physical law is described by this reduced density matrix, which consists of two parts, the global symmetry, and the other one is just the projection onto the quasi-particle states on the boundary. Okay, so we have finished the main part. And I introduced the basic idea how to compute the Antheimer entropy, and it becomes the Antheimer entropy amounts to the state counting of the quasi-particle states on the Antheimer boundary. And we can ask how useful is this approach? So can we follow the same approach on a more complicated system, like on a system with more complicated spatial topology, or can we compute that in a more complicated model? So for example, on a system with the topology, spatial topology like this, we have 1, 2, 3, we have three holes inside. So the green one is one subsystem, and the pink one, it has two components. These are another subsystem. So can we do that following the same approach? So this is the goal of this part. So now we need to define a model on such space. We need to define the gap boundaries. So we take the same model, same Z2 level 1 or torical model. We have we have two operators defined on the vertex or plaquette. So these are gauge transformation, Z2 gauge transformation on vertices. So to define the gap boundaries, we need to define a new operator, A bar, which is it's on the boundary vertex, which is acting on the links 1, 2, 3. So this is also a gauge transformation, but acting on the boundary vertex. But in more general quantum double model, in which case we have a gauge group to be arbitrary finite group G, then we have more than one choice of this, which means the A bar can be defined in many different ways. So as follows. So the summation here, it's over a subgroup K, which means we can define different boundary theories by defining the Hamiltonian operator to be the gauge transformation operators we restricted in different subgroups. So this subgroup K can be used to characterize different boundary conditions. So, but boundary conditions, I mean gap boundary conditions. Okay, so this formula, it's a detailed formula of the gauge transformation for any finite group restricted in, so the gauge transformation restricted subgroup K. Okay, so having defined the boundary theory, then a general formula of the reduced density matrix can be obtained in similar way. Now, if on a space with topology like this, then the reduced density matrix has P0, the similar thing, which projects onto the quasiparticle states on the entangled boundary. And now we have PA, PB. They are corresponding to the global symmetry projection, but due to the gauge symmetry breaking inside B and inside A, respectively. So here are three examples of the space. So this is the sphere. We already talked about this. Then PA and PG, PA and PB, are the same thing. They are the global symmetry projection from the G symmetry. And here we have the cylinders. So both are cylinders. But given a cylinder to compute the entanglement entropy, we can cut the cylinder into two parts in two different ways. One is we have two vertical cuts. And here we have two horizontal cuts. And then the yellow ones are the subsystem A. So in this case, the PA and PB, both of them becomes the same global symmetry projection with symmetry G. But here, when we do this cut, then we should take into account that the boundary condition is characterized by subgroup K1 here and K2 here. And we need to consider three different things, because the gauge symmetry breaking inside subsystem A give us a global symmetry projection with G symmetry acting on the quasiparticles. But the gauge symmetry breaking in the upper component of subsystem B, what we are left is a K1 symmetry projection acting on the upper boundary. And for the lower component of subsystem B, the gauge symmetry breaking in this component will be reduced to a global symmetry, the K2 global symmetry, acting on the bottom quasiparticles. So taking all of these together, and when we compute the entanglement entropy, so these two examples for cylinders, so horizontal cut here, and this one is vertical cut, so it gives us the result of entanglement entropy here. So I show some details of the computation. So actually, to do the Smith decomposition, for example, for this cylinder, I have subsystem A here. Then I need to introduce two base points inside each component, each subsystem, to write down the quasi-particle, to write down the basis for the quasi-particle states. So here, so these two base points give us two global symmetry projections. And here, so this is subsystem A, and the dotted line means the entanglement boundary. And here, in this case, the two dashed line, the two dashed lines means the two component of entanglement cuts of the, yeah, for the horizontal cuts. And in this example, we have three base points, means all quasi-particle states or all quasi-particles actually are given by the glue elements connected to the base point. But here we need three base points. So using this formulation, we can write down the quasi-particle states very conveniently. And actually, in gauge field theory, this formulation is recognized as the, so these are the holonomy, the open holonomy line in gauge field theory. So we need to transform the gauge field degrees of freedom into the holonomy formulation. And when we do entanglement cut, the key point is we need to introduce more than one base point for the holonomy basis. And these multiple base points, the gauge symmetry in these base points give us the global symmetry acting on the quasi-particles respectively. Okay, so this is the computation result. For example, here, then, so the leading term is proportional to the length of the entanglement cut, and the sub-leading term, which is corresponding to the topological entanglement entropy, it's more complicated here due to the three different global symmetry projections in this case. And here, eta labels some representation. Eta refers to a representation for the gauge group, which is the, so which refers to some global, to some total charge of the quasi-particle states on the entanglement boundary. Okay. So I have talked about the computation on a space with complicated spatial topology. And actually we can follow the same approach in more complicated models. So we see Levenway model here. Levenway model can be also viewed as a gauge field theories, but we need to generalize the gauge group from finite groups to be quantum groups. And also we use the representations as the degrees of freedom to define the model. So it's a representation formulation. Then the gauge symmetry in this model, in this gauge field theories, it's encoded by the invariant tensor, which are called the six-gear symbols. And the ground states in this model, it becomes a tensor network state with the six-gear symbols to be the tensors. Then the approach will work in the same way, but we need a little generalization. So when we compute the entanglement entropy, it amounts to the state counting of quasi-particles on entanglement boundary, but this time we need to introduce some weights. So actually we are doing a weighted state counting of the quasi-particle states on the boundary. And also, similarly, we have a correspondence between a 2D entanglement entropy and a 1D entropy. So the entanglement entropy is identified with the entropy of a 1D ground canonical ensemble system, also with the infinite temperature. But this time, we have a non-zero chemical potential, which is So we use the fugacity, which is a combination of the temperature and chemical potential, and the fugacity becomes the quantum dimension here. Okay, so yeah, I think I have finished the main parts. To summarize, I have introduced a new approach to study the anti-entropies. Anti-entropy in a quasi-particle fluctuation picture. So this computation of anti-entropy, or actually anti-spectrum, because in the whole talk, actually we are analyzing the reduced density matrix. We have a clear formulation of the reduced density matrix. So this picture we can have this picture because of the gauge symmetry breaking on the entanglement boundary, which actually is related to the anion condensation there. And we also show that we have a correspondence between the entanglement entropy and 1D entropy with infinite temperature on the entanglement boundary. And actually these two concepts can be related because gauge symmetry breaking or anion condensation can give us a boundary theory. And in the correspondence between this entanglement entropy and the 1D thermal entropy, this thermal entropy, it's actually the thermal entropy of the statistical system with this boundary theory, inside this boundary theory. Okay. So that's what I want to talk about today. Thank you. Yes.
What happens if the ground state cannot be written as a product state?
Sorry, the ground state of the torical model?
Or like of some system, if it cannot be written as like product state.
You mean can we do this on the tensor product state?
If the ground state cannot be written as a direct product state,
torical
is such a system.
Oh, it's due to yes. Since we have a gauge symmetry everywhere, then the gauge symmetry is a local constraint. So actually, locally at each vertex we have gauge symmetry there. Then this gauge symmetry is a local Gauss law. So this Gauss law is a constraint such that under this constraint, we have the entangled states as our local states. So all spins are entangled. It's a strong entanglement. So the ground state cannot be a direct polar state.
I have no idea about this. Is there any relation that you know of in terms of like holography, this kind of thing?
Yes, and I don't know how to define holography. So so I just say, there is a correspondence between them. I don't know how to define them.
Yeah.
All right, let's thank you, Ting.
Thank you.